This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
All right, I want to invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and join with me in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you don't know, comes after 1 Timothy. Some of you are thinking that doesn't really help. Let me just say to you, your favorite page in your Bible may very well be the table of contents, and that way you can find where you're going. But we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, and we began a series last week called Nuts and Bolts. I had somebody ask me this morning, are we supposed to choose which of those we are? And I said, no, your spouse can choose which one of those you are, if you're a nut or a bolt. And they said, can we be just a nutty bolt? I mean, does that work? And I said, whatever you want to be is fine this morning. And what I said last week was that this series began last week and will carry on for the next this week and two more weeks after this. Just want you to think about what we are trying to accomplish here at North River Church. And so I said last week, if I could wish four things for you that you would be doing as a believer at North River Church, it would be these four things that we're talking about over these 4 weeks. Now, last week was worship. Everybody say worship. This week is grow. That's good. You're catching on. Next week will be serve. Last week will be go. All right, good job. Y'all are working well on that, so I want you to have that memorized. Test will be in a couple of weeks, and we'll find out if you've been paying attention. We said last week that every single one of us were created to worship. The question is not, are we worshiping? The question is, what or whom are we worshiping? Every single one of us are wired in such a way that we are worshiping in some capacity every second of every single day. And so if you missed last week, I'd encourage you, log on to our website, and you can check that out on our sermons page, and you can get caught up to speed of where we are. But this morning, I want us to talk about growing. Here's the thing. We want every person worshiping, but we want every single person growing. We want you to be growing spiritually. Now, this is one of those sermons that you expect to hear at church. You should read your Bible. You should pray, right? You've heard those sermons, right? And you've walked away probably at times feeling pretty defeated or discouraged. I don't want that to be the case this morning. Now, let me just lay all my cards on the table and say you may walk away this morning and feel like your toes have been stepped on a little bit. It wasn't me, okay? I just want to say that up front. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit at work in your life applying His Word to your life. But I hope you leave this morning challenged and encouraged and considering what it takes for you as a believer, as a Christian, to grow in your walk with the Lord. And so we're going to camp out in 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, and I want to read, just for context purposes, the first 9 verses, and then we're going to spend most of our time looking at verses 10 through 17. So Timothy is a pastor, one that was left at a church by Paul, and Paul is writing this to him to address some issues that were going on there in the church in Ephesus, and also to encourage him to keep pressing on, to keep doing what God had called him to do. And so this is what he says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3. He says this, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." To which all of us said, amen. Verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Now that you read and you kind of go, that's encouraging. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate those words there. But if you look around, let's all be honest, that is what the culture looks like. And in fact, when you look and you realize a culture who doesn't revere or honor God is going to fall into this type of life. That's what should be expected. But here's what Paul says, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Yannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their own folly will be plain to all, as was to those two men. Now, here's the thing. You may read that and go, I have absolutely no idea what in the world Paul's talking about there. And let me just kind of give you just a glimpse. At the church that Timothy's serving at in Ephesus, there were those who would seek to come in, false teachers, and lead people astray. And what he described there, the type of attitude, the type of character of those who truly don't honor God, is what he's describing of these people. Let me just say to you very quickly and very easily and very succinctly that there are preachers, pastors, who are not true teachers and preachers of God's Word. I don't know if you know that or not. Just because they have a church and just because they may be on TV doesn't mean, can I get a witness, right? It doesn't mean that they're preaching and teaching God's Word. Let me just say this to you. If very rarely they refer to the Scriptures, and very rarely they teach on the doctrines that we find in the Scriptures, I'm just going to say to you, they're not doing what God has called them to do. So let me just put this out there. If I ever just come in on Sunday mornings and don't say, take your Bibles and turn with me to a particular set of verses, and we walk through them, ask what's wrong. Okay? Just ask what's wrong. See, there is absolutely nothing as a pastor, as a church, that we can offer besides God's Word. There is nothing that you can get that is going to be greater than this. The greatest self-help lesson that you may hear has nothing compared to God's Word. This is what we should be desiring. This is what we should be longing for when we come and we gather with one another on Sundays to worship the Lord. It's His Word that sets the table for what we're going to eat every single week. That's the problem that Timothy was seeing in the church that he was serving in, as there were false teachers seeking to come in and to lead people astray. And Paul says, listen, it's not going to end well. Let me just say this to you very quickly. If a church is not founded on God's Word, it will not be a church very long. Maybe a social club, maybe a fun place to go, but it's not a church. The church is founded on the truth of who Jesus is, and it's built on the Word of God. You can say amen. It'll be okay. Now, here's what happens in verse 10. Paul has been speaking generally here about the church, but he's about to get very specific in Timothy's life, and I believe very specific in application in our lives as well. If we're going to talk about growing spiritually, listen to what he says in verse 10. You, Timothy, however, have followed my teaching. You've followed my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen to verse 14, and we're going to spend the majority of our time in verses 14 through 17. He says this to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," that's the scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." See, one of the things that Paul realizes that is true for Timothy is something that is true for us as well. As we look at the crazy world that surrounds us, as we look at what we experience day in and day out in a culture that is oftentimes hostile to God and His Word, what we realize is that we as God's people, if we're believers, if we're Christians, must be grounded in God's Word. Let me say this to you. If you're a Christian here this morning, your growth spiritually will be directly affected by the time you spend in God's Word. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. It's the first truth that we encounter in the text this morning as we consider what Paul has to say to Timothy. It's this: spiritual growth is a personal decision. Spiritual growth is a personal decision. You say, "Michael, kind of help me out with that. What do you mean it's a personal decision?" Losing weight is a personal decision, right? If you want to lose weight, that's a personal decision. It means you have to do something different than what you're doing currently so that you'll lose weight. Some of you are like, can you explain that a little bit more? I need to write that down, right? But here's the thing. If we're going to grow spiritually, it's going to have to be a personal decision. Look at what he says here to Timothy in verse 14. "But as for you, Timothy," what's the next word? Okay, that was weak, y'all. A little weak. Let's try one more time. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings that are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ." Paul tells Timothy, you have to continue in the Word so that you will grow spiritually. Timothy, you have to continue in what you have been taught and what you have heard from when you were young. You have to continue in that if you're going to grow spiritually. Now, here's the thing. Interestingly, the scriptures often talk about growing spiritually as maturing from a baby in Christ to a mature adult in Christ. Now, we see this play out pretty often. See a baby born, and a couple of years later, you look and you go, "Gosh, they've really grown up." And then 3 or 4 years later, you look and you go, "Man, they just keep growing. They keep maturing. They keep growing up." And all of a sudden, they're in high school and then college. And then you look around and you go, "Gosh, they got kids of their own." And if you're their parent, you say, "I hope they pay you back for what you put me through," right? But see, here's the thing. We expect a baby to grow to be a mature adult. Same thing's true for us as believers. When we first come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are a baby in Christ. We know enough of what Christ has done for us to receive the salvation that his death on the cross provided. But here's the thing. We're not supposed to stay there. I'm afraid too many believers get saved and then they just stop. And so you have people who have been saved for 20 or 30 years who have not really grown in their walk with the Lord. Let me try to illustrate this for you to kind of give you a glimpse of what I'm talking about. One of the things that Paul says as he's writing to the Hebrews in the end of chapter 5, he says, at this point in time, I should be able to move on to more teaching, be able to move beyond just the basics, the milk of the word, to get to the meat of the word. But you're still babes in Christ. You're still having to be fed with milk. So pause for a second and just think, when you go out and you're sitting at a restaurant and there's a mom with a newborn baby and she has a bottle and she's feeding the baby the bottle. Isn't that cute? Just look at that and you think, gosh, that's awesome. Now, if you walked in that same restaurant and you saw Scott Johnson curled up in the corner of the booth with a bottle in his mouth, you'd start thinking, may need to commit him, right? You'd look and you'd wonder, what in the world is going on? Isn't it interesting that we don't think like that when we talk about growing in a relationship with the Lord? That the reality is, in our walk with the Lord, that we begin as babes in Christ. We begin on the milk of the Word, but that there's an expectation that we would continue growing and become a fully mature, devoted follower of Jesus and grow spiritually in that. But here's the thing. That doesn't happen by accident. Let me just say this to you. You don't wake up one day as a Christian and just happen to be mature. It doesn't happen that way. You don't just magically wake up and realize, you know what, I just know more of the Bible than I did before. You don't wake up one day and just magically look and go, gosh, I feel like I'm walking closer with Jesus than I ever have before. If that's true, then that means something has changed in your life so that you are growing from a baby in Christ to a more mature adult in Christ. It does not happen by accident. You see, here's the thing. Spiritual growth is a personal decision. It means that you as a believer have to make a decision. Am I going to stay a baby in Christ? Am I going to stay a baby in my faith, or am I going to grow as I was intended to grow? And if it doesn't happen by accident, how does it happen? Say, Michael, you're talking about growing in Christ. How do I grow in Christ? How do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I grow spiritually? Well, Paul just said here to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, listen to this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for four things, he says: teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Listen to me. You cannot grow spiritually apart from time in God's Word. It's not going to happen. You're not going to grow spiritually apart from time in God's Word. Now, here's the thing. It's not easy. I don't know what you think about me as a pastor, but can I just say to you, I don't wake up in the mornings jump out of bed and go, yes, I get to read the Bible again today. I wake up when the alarm goes off thinking, why in the world is there a 5 on the clock? I'm sitting there thinking, I may have to wake Jesus up, right? But you look and you realize it's not an easy thing to grow spiritually. It's not easy to cultivate the habits in our lives personally to grow in our walk with the Lord. And so let me just say there are three things, I think, in terms of this being a personal decision, three things as we think about God's Word, that if you'll nail down these three things, you'll begin to take some steps to spending time in God's Word and it being profitable in your life. Three things. One, when? That's the question. When? When are you going to do it? See, the thing is, you don't just happen to find time to read the Bible. You don't just happen to find time. You have to make time. You have to set a priority in your schedule. This is when I'm going to spend time in God's Word. What is the when? When are you going to do it? For me, I realize I've got to do it early in the morning. If I don't do it early in the morning, just like if I don't exercise early in the morning, I'm eating donuts by lunch, right? I've got to do it early. You may look and say, God, there's no way I can do it early. I have to do it late, or I have to do it at lunch, or I have to do it at some other point in the day. But when are you going to do it? If you can nail down the when, you're beginning to take a step. Second question, where? When are you going to do it? What time? And then where? Where's that place that you go that you know when I go there, it's time to spend time in God's Word? For me, that's our kitchen countertop. Pull the chair out. I put the Bible there the night before. And I leave the phone upstairs. Right? You ever go to read God's Word and you go, yeah, I really need to check my email. Wonder who won last night. Need to check the scores. Somebody send me a message. How many Facebook likes did I get? What about that Instagram picture? Leave the phone. Spend time in God's Word at a particular time, at a particular place. And then here's the last question. What's the plan? So if you can nail down when you're going to do it, if you can nail down where you're going to do it, and if you can nail down what plan you're going to follow, are you going to read through a particular book? Are you going to use a devotional? None of those are bad. If they drive you to God's Word, it's a good tool to use. So when are you going to do it? Where are you going to do it? And what plan are you going to follow? If you can nail those three things down, and begin to cultivate the habit of spending time in God's Word, I can promise you this, you will grow during that time. Spiritual growth is a personal decision. Here's number two, though, I want you to write this down. Spiritual growth is a community project. Spiritual growth is a personal decision, but spiritual growth is also a community project. See, the truth is, God never intended for us as believers to live the Christian life on our own. Never intended for us to grow spiritually on our own. He always intended for us to live out the Christian life, to grow spiritually as we were involved in community. In fact, as you look at what happens here, you realize that, says in verse 14, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Listen to this. Knowing from whom you learned it. You back up and you say, okay, well, whom did Timothy learn God's Word from? From his mother and from his grandmother. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and you realize that that's who was instrumental in Timothy's life to introduce him to Christ, to introduce him to the Scriptures, and to help him realize what's going on. Let me say this to you. If you are not engaged with other people as you walk through the Christian life, your spiritual growth is going to be stunted as a result. You need time in God's Word with other people to grow the way God intended for you to grow. See, one of the things that you realize on Sunday mornings, as good, I hope, as you think that is, it's not enough in your life spiritually. If all you get on Sunday mornings is you sitting and listening to me, you're going to miss part of what God intends in your life spiritually. See, I call it sitting in rows, which if you look around, you realize that currently every single one of us is sitting in a row, and you're facing this way. And here's the thing that I want you to realize. This is good, but only so far. What needs to happen is for rows to turn into circles. Have you noticed this, that when you're spending time in God's Word, when you hear a sermon, that there's things that you start thinking about, right? There's things that you think, I wonder what he really meant when he said that. I wonder what he was talking about. You know, he just briefly referenced this. He didn't really go into it a whole lot. I wonder what was going on there. Or maybe in your personal time with the Lord, as you're reading God's Word, you think, you know, I really wish that I could talk to somebody about this. I really wish I could explore this a little bit more. It's hard to do that sitting in rows. You know when it's easy to do that? Sitting in circles. When you're looking at someone in the eye and there's just a handful of you, you get to look at one another and you get to begin to discuss God's Word. One of the things I'm grateful for with our ladies and the IF table is they get to gather around and they get to talk with one another about what God's doing in their lives. One of the reasons I'm pushing life groups as much as I'm pushing life groups is I realize that your spiritual growth will happen sitting in a circle talking with other believers about what God's doing in your life and what His Word says. And so if the step that you've taken up to this point, which I'm grateful you've taken, is sitting in rows, I want to challenge you. Move beyond the row to the circle. And then I want to challenge you even more than that, those of you that are engaged in small groups in some capacity, whether it's with women's ministry or whether it's with our small group ministry, I want to encourage you to move even from circles to being face-to-face one-on-one. You realize when I sit with someone face-to-face, one-on-one, I can have a conversation that I can't have in a group of people. And I want to encourage you, move from the rows to the circles to face-to-face. And I can promise you this, if you do that, you're going to grow spiritually. You say, Michael, what's the step that I need to take this morning? Jump into a life group. We've got life groups going on right now, and they're walking through. Each group is walking through what we've talked about on Sunday mornings. And I want to encourage you, take that step of joining in with a life group. Maybe you need to take the step of joining in with one other person and say, listen, I want us to gather together on a weekly basis or once a month or whatever it may be and just talk about what God's doing in our life and challenge one another and encourage one another. Listen, if we are going to grow in our walk with the Lord, we're going to have to spend time in God's Word, and it's going to have to be a personal decision, but it's also going to have to be a community project. God never intended for us to be Lone Ranger Christians. He always intended for growth to happen personally in our lives and corporately in community. What we see in Timothy's life is that that's exactly how it happened for him. Just imagine if Timothy's mom and grandmother hadn't invested in him, hadn't poured God's word into his life. It's one of the reasons I'm so thankful for those who serve within our children's ministry and in our student ministry who are pouring God's word into the next generation. It's one of the reasons that we're launching River Country Extreme in a couple of weeks on Wednesday night is we want to pour into our kids. We want to pour God's word into their lives because we believe that it's his word that can change their life. Spiritual growth happens because of a personal decision. It happens as a community project. But here's the last truth I want you to see this morning. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. Here's the thing. You never arrive at the finish line in your spiritual life until you die. Which means that for us as believers, we should be growing constantly in our life as believers. We should be constantly striving to know who God is and to spend time in his word and to walk with him and to walk with other people and to engage with others as we think about God's word on a personal level in our lives. It never ends. You never arrive until you take your last breath and you stand face to face with Jesus. And at that moment, you've arrived. There's no more theology that you need to know because you're standing before the Son of God. I want to give you just a glimpse, a little bit, of when we talk about spiritual growth as a lifelong process. I want to just invite you in for just a moment to a theological discussion. Does that sound good? Can you join with me on that? And I want to talk about salvation, and I want to talk about the three aspects of salvation that really drive this point home. Okay, so for just a moment, put on your theological cap, buckle your chin strap, and I want you to realize as we look at God's word what it says about salvation. When God's word talks about salvation, it talks about three particular aspects of salvation. The first is what we call justification. Justification. The second is what we call sanctification. And then the third is glorification. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Some of you get the glazed over look like you're back in school, right? You're like, I'm not sure what's going on. Now, here's what I want you to understand. At the moment of salvation, when we ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our life, in that moment, God justifies us. Jesus' blood covers us. His death on the cross pays for our sins. In that moment, we, in God's eyes, are considered perfectly right and perfectly just in right relationship with him. That's what we mean by justification. But then there's another aspect of salvation called sanctification, which simply means growing to be more like Jesus throughout our life. Because you know this, and I know this, that just because you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior doesn't mean in that moment you stop struggling with sin in your life. Can I get a witness? If you need to elbow your spouse, it's okay. We still struggle with sin in our life. And God, through his word, and God, through his spirit at work in our lives, and God, through other believers gathering around us, gives us what we need to begin growing spiritually to look more like Jesus. So here's the thing for us. You, if you have been walking with Jesus for a long time, should, in your life, look more like Christ than you did when you first started. You are completely justified before God. When he looks at you, he sees Christ's righteousness covering you. But practically speaking, day in and day out, we realize that we have not yet arrived. And we are continuing to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We're continuing to become more like Jesus, which is what we're talking about today. Spiritual growth in our lives. It's a lifelong process. It doesn't end until we get to the last aspect of salvation, and that's glorification. That's when we die and we stand face to face with Jesus. At that moment, we have arrived. And so in the meantime, we are walking through this process of sanctification. If you think about it this way, we're walking through the process of God shaping and molding us to look more like his son every single day of our lives. And we play a part in that process. We play a part in that growth, in that spiritual growth as we continue to walk out the Christian life, as we continue to spend time in God's word, as we continue to spend time with other believers, we grow. We begin to look more like Jesus every single day. But we never arrive until we see him face to face. I want to ask you, if you will, this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask the band if they'll make their way up. And I want to give you a few moments to consider what we've looked at this morning as we talked about what it means to grow spiritually in our lives. I just want to ask a few simple questions and give you an opportunity to respond in your heart before the Lord this morning and give you an opportunity to think. Here's one of the questions that I want to encourage you to think about. As you look at where you are today spiritually, how much has changed from this time last year? Have you grown? Kind of stayed stagnant? As we consider what it means to make the personal decision day in and day out to grow spiritually, what steps do you need to take this morning? As you think about the answer to those three questions about spending time in God's Word, what are the answers? When? Where? What's your plan? This morning, you may need to recommit that spending time in God's Word is going to be a priority for you. As we think about growth happening in the context of community, maybe the step that you need to take this morning is to join one of our life groups. Or maybe you need to grab another believer here and say, listen, I need us to spend some time together. Encourage one another, to challenge one another, to talk about what God's doing in our lives. And maybe the reality for you is you think you've kind of arrived. And your growth hasn't been what it used to be because you think, gosh, I already know it all. And yet you've realized this morning that you've only just begun the journey that God's called you to in growth spiritually. Maybe the step that you need to take this morning is to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ through receiving the salvation that he offers. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word, and we ask you to challenge our preconceived ideas, challenge our thoughts challenge our priorities. Lord, expose where we need to take some steps in our lives to grow the way you intend for us to grow. We ask this in Christ's name.